woods and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State on the Michigan Talk Network. WildMichiganRadio.com is where you can find us. First hour of the show, we spoke with our good friend Lance Valentine from Walleye 101. Had a lot of great things to talk about with him as we progress into the fall fishing season. Also, we spoke with John Nelson, the vice president of the Michigan State High School Clay Target League. If you would like to get a clay target team for your school, go to our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can find the link to the Michigan State High School Clay Target League there. And that's really taken off. It took off well last year, and this year rather, in 2016, 2017, looking to be very promising. Thanks to our friends at Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, lucky-buck.com, also Costa Sunglasses, and Darton Archery for bringing you Wild Michigan here again in 2016 as we make our way into our 10th year. Also getting ready for next year, which is going to be a blast. It's going to be on the road again starting in January. But we've got the pheasant opener that happened on the 20th of this week. We've got duck seasons going on. We've got geese going on. Lots of great fishing opportunities throughout the state. And, of course, whitetail going on. Whitetail season, bow season is in full effect right now. And this is the time of year when everything's really starting to take off. We've got fall turkey, grouse, woodcock. So much stuff going on right now that, you know, sometimes there's a trophy involved. Or maybe it's a trophy to you, and you want to know about getting it taken care of, having taxidermy work done. And that's when we bring in our good friend Mark Esch from Wildlife Reflection Taxidermy in DeWitt. Mark, welcome back, man. How are you?
Doing great, Duran. Thank you for inviting me. Doing real well.
Good, man. Now, last time I saw you physically was at my wedding back in August.
Which was great.
It was a fun time, very small affair. And we've since been to Alaska, which is cool. But now we're back. We're talking with you, and we're talking about getting our deer prepped for taxidermy. This could be the first year for a lot of people. And I was reading this article, Mark, about things you should know. And a lot of the stuff is the stuff we cover and we'll cover here. But I think people sometimes, you know, you never anticipate a trophy. It just sometimes happens. But maybe getting to know a taxidermist in your area, probably helps a little bit too. You know, and how do you know where to look? I mean, you can look up taxidermy, and it's a crapshoot because not everybody's the same.
Right, and that's true. And that's what I tell a lot of people, whether you use me or somebody else. The biggest thing is go visit that person. Look at their work firsthand, you know, the shop, everything else, because you don't know until you physically see the person, see their work, see the detail, what they put into them out, because as in any business, there's some really great work and there's some really bad work out there. you want to pay, make your money, make it worth, you know, your while. So especially something that might have taken you 10 years to get, you know, do it justice by getting a really beautiful mount done too.
Absolutely. Mark has done a lot of work for me over the past. He's done my elk, a few turkey fans for me, a nice winged turkey mount, also a wild boar and a few deer. But let's talk about the difference, Mark, because a lot of taxidermists will have their show work. They'll have their trophies, their ribbons, or whatever it is they've claimed by that piece of work. But there is a difference, and people need to know there is a difference between show work and the everyday regular work that we are probably going to get.
And that's very true. I mean, a competition piece, for example, that you put in a competition is not the same as commercial work. I say that. The good thing, I guess, if a guy does compete, I will say, is that usually that reflects into his commercial work, which is usually at the higher end, looks better. But there is a big difference because a competition piece, there's usually hundreds of hours put into that piece compared to not even close to that in a commercial piece. It's just the way it is that, you know, the judges look at every little hair and vein and everything you could think of. And if you did that as a business, you would never make any money, basically.
You wouldn't get anything done either.
No, you would not. No, because when it comes to a commercial or a competition piece, I should say, you have to babysit that thing a lot to make sure it dries properly and things stay where they're supposed to. Definitely a difference in the two.
But even but there are some things that can be used in a commercial piece versus production pieces that really accentuate your personal mount a little bit more. I know that you've used some competition eyes, mm-hmm. the eye inserts, yeah. on like my elk that I took in 2013.
Yep. Yes, exactly. And the thing of it is, you know, in modern taxidermy, anything's available. And you can judge your mount is how you want your mount done, but also the supplies that we use. Yeah, they have the competition eyes. They have the ears now with the veins in them. Just so much, things are so accurate compared to what they used to be. That yes, when you put something together now, it can look so lifelike. Whether it be ears, eyes, the nose, anything. I put a septum in the nose, which I do. I do. It just looks a lot better than what I used to. But that's it. It's available for the taxidermist to use. If they choose to.
And forms have a lot to do with it too, because I've seen white-tailed deer mounts, and I can't say that if that deer really looked like this at that time, but sometimes you see like a neck on a white-tailed deer that it's so almost over-exaggerated, and maybe it really did look like that. I don't know. I didn't see the deer in life. But is that something that is an option to the person getting it? Is it something we should think about before we get in there, is how much it looks like when we took that animal?
Yes. Yes. I've got to even bring me pictures of their deer, things like that, too. But, yeah, in general, whether a guy tans his own or you use a commercial tannery for the taxidermy part of it, they come back. You can get them very stretchy and get back to the original size of the neck of the deer, or a little bigger. But I say to myself, want to give them back exactly what they gave you, whether it be a deer, fish, whatever it might be. Give them the exact size, look, everything. And the nice thing is now too, because the forms are there's so many selections, I should say, in forms. You're gonna have them doing everything, looking up, looking down, looking sideways, twisting, turning. It's nice. Almost too many options, but that's nice for the hunter too if they have a lot of mounts on the wall.
There are. I mean, look, there are a lot of options. I mean, you can do reaching up to lick a branch, nose curl, all that, lip curl, all that stuff.
Right.
And it's basically what you want. And working with a taxidermist is you know, and to their ability, the taxidermist's ability is probably going to be very important.
It is exactly, and it depends on. You know, does a guy do everything? Does he just do, because some taxidermists I know, they do just certain things. Some guys just do fish. Some guys just do birds. Some guys do everything. So, yeah, it depends on their ability, you know. And I can go back to the competition part of it. Have they competed? Not that they ever have to, but it really elevates your work to make you look better. I don't know, strive for perfection, I guess I should say. But that's what, you know, for me, I always say if I'm not happy with it, I don't think they're going to be happy with it. So if it takes a little bit longer to get it done, it does. So,
Mark Esch from Wildlife Reflection Taxidermy is joining us here on Wild Michigan. And our website, wildmichiganradio.com, with a link to Mark's studio is on there if you'd like to ask Mark some questions yourself. Maybe you're in the mid-Michigan area, southern Michigan area. Definitely worth the drive. Right about now, Mark, like I said, you're starting to get slammed. You're starting to get a whitetail, and it's getting to be a very busy time of year already, which is strange because it's been so warm during this bow season.
It is, and I'm doing very well with that. We're doing a youth hunt and already the bow hunt, and it's slowed down right now the past couple of days, but I'm doing very well with that. Obviously, it'll get very crazy, which it always does once the rut hits and then the gun season comes. But, yeah, I'm doing very well already, which is very nice. I got friends all over the state that are the taxidermists, and some are not. You know, so busy, and some are. So, not sure of the reason of that, but not sure.
Different areas. Talking with Mark Esch. We're going to talk more with him. We're going to find out about what we need to know to get our deer safely to the taxidermist. Do's and don'ts in the field here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Thank you.
Whoa. 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 If I can make a living from walking in the woods, you can bet I'd be sitting pretty good, high on a hill, looking at a field downwind.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Hate interrupting that song. It's my job. It's my job. It's what I got to do. Thanks again to our friends at Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. Also, getting ready, man. November 15th, it's going to happen. Wacoosta General Store, the Wacoosta Buck Pool. Not too far from Lansing, just south of St. John's. Kind of smack dab in the middle of the two. We're going to be there starting at 5 o'clock on Tuesday, the 15th of November. And it's going to be the Wacoosta General Buck Pool with Wild Michigan. We are going to be there. We've got some Lucky Buck we're giving away. We'll have some other prizes to give away. So bring your buck out there and have a blast. It's good family fun in a very, and I mean very small town with a great big heart and a lot of great people out there. Thanks to my friend Dennis Jagla for getting us involved again. This year, Mark Esch, I know you're going to be out there.
Well,
Wildlife Reflection Taxidermy, my taxidermist. And this isn't really, I want to make everybody clear that this is not just a plug for the guy that I like, my taxidermist. Everybody has their favorite, and that's great. But these are some tips from a taxidermist that we know, we work with, to get your deer or whatever it is that you've harvested in good shape. Now, we've had warm weather lately, Mark. It's going to cool down a little bit here as we start getting back into late October, into November. We may still have some warm spells. And warm weather can be an enemy to a cape for a whitetail.
Yes, it can. Yeah, bacteria growth. People don't realize that bacteria growth will start right away if they don't do something about it. And that's why I tell people, your best case scenario is to either get it to the taxidermist so they can cape it out and skin it. Most every butcher I know around my area does a great job of caping out the deer for the hunter, and then they freeze it or they bring it right over. The biggest mistake is what some people do is they'll put it in the cooler with ice, and the ice is not in the bag. Well, moisture and the bacteria will grow together, so you want it to keep it dry but cold. So, yeah, either freeze it or get it right to the taxidermist as soon as you can, because the warm weather is not good. I've had one already come in this year that was, I think it's going to be fine, but it had, you know, smelled a bit, and it just was not good because they let it lay around for a while, showing everybody, you know, the antlers. And I said, it's always best to get it caped out first, and then you can take the, you know, antlers back and show everybody.
Now, let's talk a little bit about some of the areas, the counties, Ingham, Eaton, Shiawassee, now Clinton, CWD areas that, you know, we have to turn in our deer head. How is that working with the taxidermist, especially if we want to get it, you know, in? You know, we've got a nice rack. We want to get a mount done. How is that working? What are you doing? Are you doing things for that?
Yes, yeah, actually, it's working out very well. Luckily for me, in my area, there's an area, one check-in station just about 5 miles north of me in Riley Township. There's also one over in Eagle, east little town of Eagle area, a check-in station. Obviously, you have Rose Lake, which will always be there. But it's working out really well. I've talked with DNR more than once this year about that. What they would like to have happen, if a hunter shoots a deer in those areas, is that they go get to the DNR first to get checked in. They give them a little orange tag. They bring it to me. I cape out the deer, and then I basically put the brains in the skull back into a bag, freeze it, and they take it back to the DNR. That's all that the MSU lab wants, basically, is the head and the brains for testing reasons. Some guys have just bring it right here. I've caped it out, you know, gave them, you know, back all that, and they take it to the DNR. That's fine, too. But they like to have it checked in first and then have it come here. But it's been working out just fine. Not been an issue whatsoever. And so far, thank God, everything's been coming back negative this year, I've heard. So that's good.
Good. Definitely things we want to hear with the cases of CWD that we've had in the state. We've covered that here extensively on the show.
Right.
And, you know, it's just good information to know. So we're all hunting legally here in Michigan. Now, one of the mistakes that hunters, be they new or long time old school guys and gals out there, they make is when they pull the deer out of the woods. A couple of things, Mark. Talk about the bad things that can happen when you rope your deer around the neck to drag it out of the woods, or maybe even dragging it out against the grain of the fur.
Hair. Yes, that's very true. The best thing a guy can do is, first of all, either use a sled or a tarp or something if you're going to drag the deer at all. It happens every single year. A couple of people will drag their deer behind a quad, just right on the ground over rocks and whatever. And sad to say, a lot of the hair comes off the shoulder, but they still want a shoulder mount. So, yeah, you don't want to go against the hair if possible. You don't ever put a rope around the neck. It does not make a difference, even if it's a doe or whatever it might be, hang it upside down. Because once you do that, and if you possibly break some of those hairs, you know, I can fix it. I can probably make it look right, but it's very difficult. And there's times I can't because the rope actually went in there and broke some of the hairs and stuff around the neck. So, yeah, don't ever put a rope around the neck either. And people don't realize, too, if you got a buck, hang it from the antlers. Those antlers are part of the skeletal system. You're not going to break them. So that's your best case scenario.
Definitely good information. You know, I mean, look, if you're not gonna take it to the taxidermist, you can hang it however you want. You know,
right?
It's knuckles, whatever. But you know, these are things that we're trying to help people with. You know, and this is like food for thought, forethought ahead of time, and people even traveling. You know, what if somebody's traveling? Like to Ohio, Indiana, or another state for whitetail, how are they going to best preserve that buck? I mean, we were going to go back to the first segment where you said, you know, ice is good, but it's got to be packaged.
Right. And that's it. And that's the same thing. I get deer every year from out of state, I do a lot of deer from Missouri, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, all over the place. And yeah, in general, most of them will bring it directly back from the hunt, or they'll put it in ice, or they'll find a local meat locker or something and get it and freeze it. Because the biggest thing is, yeah, keep it cold as possible or frozen, and then you're going to be fine. But now because of the CWD, a lot of these have to have the brains taken out and all that state, which is fine. Everybody's doing that. But yeah, just keep it cold and get to the taxidermist as soon as you possibly can. Or a lot of guys will learn how to cape out a deer, which I can teach them. It's very simple. And therefore, they have the cape separate from the antlers, and that works out even better.
Mark Ash is our guest, Wildlife Reflection Taxidermy in DeWitt, Michigan. Real quickly, Mark, let's talk about waterfowl because a lot of that's going on right now as well.
Sure.
There are good ways to maybe, you know, bring your waterfowl back. What are some of the best ways for that?
Well, the best thing with waterfowl is to never, I guess we call it a ring the neck or whatever to kill them, but don't do that. But the best case scenario that with the waterfowl is to, and I know you mentioned this before too, but, you know, like the head is a big thing. So tuck the head underneath the wing. Bring that whole body as tight as you can. And it might sound silly, but the best thing they can do is bring like a nylon, a woman's nylon or something, and stick that bird in their head first. Because what that does, it brings the head and all the feathers and everything right in line and tight together. And therefore, you're not going to break a wing. You're not going to break a leg. Because that's things you don't want to do. But yeah, do that, freeze it, and then bring it to your taxidermist.
All right. Make sure you check him out on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Mark Esch, Wildlife Reflection Taxidermy. Mark, thanks so much, man.
Thanks so much, man. Thank you.
All right, man. We're looking for you at the Wacoosta Buck Poll, November 15th, starting at 5 o'clock with Wild Michigan.
Hunting, fishing, loving every day. That's the prayer that a country boy prays. Thank God he made me this way, hunting, fishing, and loving every day.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time, in a state 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com. You can pick up our podcast and locally in the Great Lakes State as well. Thanks to our friends at Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, lucky-buck.com, and Michigan Made, man. Love those guys, love the product, and very happy to have them on board here in 2016 and hopefully into 2017 as well. Bringing back one of our guests, he's been on a few times with us before, and I think the world knows who he is, the world of the outdoors, because he probably has more affiliates than anybody else in the world talking about the outdoorsman, Buck McNeely, joining us. How you doing, Buck?
Outstanding, Duran. Glad to be with you again this morning.
Absolutely, man. It's been it's been a busy year for me, and I know it's always busy for you. And you know, it seems right about this time when it seems like the world is hunting and fishing right now, we actually get an opportunity to connect and basically kind of catch up with what you've been doing and where the show is going so far.
Well, 31 years on the air, over 500 stations cleared nationwide. Latest ratings reports position our show as the dominant TV series in the outdoor entertainment industry, with a tuned-in audience 6 times that of the Outdoor Channel, 12 times that of the Sportsman's Channel, etc. So the good Lord's still smiling on us.
And you're still getting out, you're still doing some hunting and enjoying things, and it's been busy. So what are you focusing on right now where you're at?
Hey, my son Max just had his first pro MMA fight last Saturday night in St. Louis after the last 4 or 5 years fighting as an amateur and holding 3 amateur belts as the heavyweight champion of Missouri. He just turned pro, went up against a big mouth talking slugger, and Max took him down rear naked, choked him out in the first round, and he's 1-0 as a pro now.
See, we've watched Max grow up on the show with you. I mean, that's been a father-son duo. We've watched you guys, and now he's fighting MMA pro. 1-0, congratulations, that's fantastic. And it's got to be, as a parent, how is it for you to watch that?
It's probably worse on his mama than it is on me, because she's a nervous Nelly at times, but... but I actually have gotten a kick out of it. Of course, you know, growing up, I was my 2 sons' coaches in football and basketball and wrestling and baseball, and sponsored the teams and head coached and what have you. And I tell you what, I miss those years, not just spending that time with the kids out on the field, but their friends. And having all of those young fellas involved and teaching them and guiding them and molding them and seeing the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And now that they're out of my hands and I'm no longer part of their coaching agenda like that, I miss those days. I'll admit to that.
You know, we spoke with a gentleman earlier in the show today that we now have a Michigan State High School Clay Target League, something that's really taking off. And I don't know what it's been like with your area, but I got to tell you, I'm very excited to see a high school sport that's safer, actually literally safer than bowling, and involves shooting.
Yeah, how the Libbies like that one, huh?
I don't know, man. I think this could really really take on a good hold here in the state of Michigan, but I would like to see it in our bigger cities.
Well, you know, historical fact, for many, many years in this country, schools had shooting teams, rifles, shotguns, what have you. You know, kids had shotguns in the backs of their truck all during school. Heck, I remember when I was in school back in the 70s, if you didn't have a shotgun hanging in the back window of your pickup truck, you were kind of looked as a fruity boy, because everybody had guns in their truck. Hell, our teachers would come out and admire my new shotgun during lunch, and my, how things have changed in this country.
Yeah, they have changed. I remember when we first started the show, there was a young man that... that had a bow in his car accidentally. And the thing is, he had actually run over this bow prior, so it wasn't even functioning, and was suspended from school, written up, and everything else, because he had a bow in the trunk of his car. And he actually went and told the principal, or told his teacher, hey, I forgot, I've got my bow in the car. Teacher never said anything till the end of the school day, to which the principal then came out and said, you know what, you're suspended for X amount of time. And, you know, that really, it was before all of the other stuff we've seen lately. And it was really kind of disheartening to see that.
Well, you know, what's happened in this country is we've allowed the most immoral, weakling mutts of our society to tell us how we should think and get in positions of power and shove their agenda down our throat. And it's our fault because we let these guys take control of our country. I mean, look at this. Two terms of Obama pounding us into the sand, and half the American people think that the most crooked and evil and corrupt human being to ever walk the face of the earth, after Obama, of course, would be Hillary Clinton, and half the people think she's got to be our next president. Criminally.
You know, I tell you, I did watch the debate earlier this week, and we had, and I mentioned this to another gentleman off air, but, you know, let's talk about the D.C. versus Heller case. This was not a case brought up that had anything to do with toddlers. It was about the Second Amendment, and how that ever entered the conversation is beyond me. I'm not quite sure where that all entered as to what heartstrings that candidate was trying to pull at that time. But, you know, anybody that's paid any attention whatsoever to that case knows that that was all fabricated.
Well, you know, everything that Hillary does is very cold and calculated. You can just see the robotic and glacial face that she presents to the American people and feel the evil emanate from her, you know. And what Trump should have said last night was, hey, people, you got a choice, all right? You got one more shot at stopping the insanity and the corruption that they've been pounding down your throat all these years, and that's me, because if you elect Clinton, you're not going to recognize this country in 4 years. They will have inundated us with illegal aliens from all over the world. They would have pounded us into the sand, and this country would become a third world hellhole, which is exactly what they want to do. They want to merge our economy with Canada and Mexico and create a North American Union, just like the failed European Union. And it's all part of the socialist one world agenda to establish control with them at the top of the pyramid. And you and me and everybody else, the masses of the asses at the base of the pyramid, completely subjective.
Buck McNeely is our guest here. He's the host of the Outdoorsman International, the Outdoorsman with Buck McNeely, a TV show, 500 stations across the world, and right here in Lansing, too, where we're from. You can catch him on one of the affiliates as well. Watched you last week with Charles Napier. Actor extraordinaire, been around a long time. A lot of people may not know the name, but you know, like you said, what was it, over 107 movies, Buck?
Yeah, he was the general in the Austin Powers film. He was the judge in Philadelphia, the film that Tom Hanks won his first Oscar in, and he was the leader of the Good Old Boys band in the Blues Brothers.
I remember that, and driver of the bus. Let's not forget that.
And he did a lot of cartoon work and a lot of voiceover work. And, you know, he was one of my good buddies. He's since passed, and I do miss him dearly.
Absolutely. Buck McNeely is our guest here. We're going to talk more. We're going to talk more about an upcoming episode of The Outdoorsman here in a couple of seconds. So, Buck, stick around. We're going to talk a little bit about the Second Amendment and talk a little bit about, you know, carrying concealed. So that's something that, you know, I have my license. My wife has her license. And it's something that's very important. So we're going to speak more with Buck McNeely here coming up in a couple of seconds. Catch all of this fun on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, for the podcast and everything else we've got on there. It's Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
This is Cuz Strickland with Mossy Oak, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it can tell. Granddaddy's gone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, along with Buck McNeely, host of The Outdoorsman with Buck McNeely. And earlier in the week, Buck, let's talk about something that was very prevalent on both sides. And look, Everybody that listens to this show, if you've been a longtime listener for the 10 years that we've been doing this show, you know what side of the fence I'm on. You know what where I'm leaning. But I have friends that are on the opposite side politically, but are still staunch supporters of the Second Amendment, staunch supporters of hunting, fishing, and the freedom to do so, the freedom to carry either openly or concealed, providing you have a permit and or have passed what we have for background checks, and you know, and our law abiding citizen. Okay, all those things said, law abiding citizens, you know, for the most part, are not running around shooting each other. Second Amendment, very important during this election. It was brought up, and the right to carry, concealed or openly or without permit, is something that's going to be looked at in the next 4 years either way.
Hey, there's 300-plus million guns in America, over 90 million firearm owners, 44% of U.S. TV households own guns. If we were the problem, you would know about it.
Exactly. There's, you know, and that's it. It's just fair. It's just fair to say it that way. You know, and when you have an issue where a gun is used in a crime, it's not reported on whether that firearm was obtained legally, was not reported on whether the person was permitted that firearm or had a permit to use that firearm. It's just the firearm did the work.
Hey, on the weekend of 11-5, that's the weekend before the big election nationwide, I've got probably one of the most important episodes I've ever produced airing nationwide, and I want to invite everybody to tune in and check it out. I interview one of Missouri's top sheriffs, a man named John Jordan, about Second Amendment, how to deal with riots. Like in Ferguson and Baltimore and what the police should have done there. And then I do a look at the history of the Second Amendment and why our founding fathers wrote it into the Constitution, not in the case of the revolt by the white-tailed deer population, but because of tyranny by our government and, of course, criminals on the streets. And then my family and I take a concealed carry course. We show how that unfolds and how easy it is for people to take one for themselves. And then I give some warnings about, living in this insane world of criminality and Islamic extremists that our government seems to think is a good idea to import in by the millions, put on government welfare, and seed across the country as part of their Islamification agenda. You know what I say to that? Insanity. It's like dumping a barrel of rattlesnakes in your living room and hoping never to get bit.
You know, and the thing is, too, Buck, you know this as well as I do, what you're training in that course, the all-day course for us here in Michigan. The one thing that says, before you draw your firearm, be prepared for about 30 things to happen. One of them being, you will probably be arrested in the event you use it. So you better have a damn good reason for using it.
Well, as the sheriff tells so eloquently in the interview in this episode, he says, if you're in a situation like that and you have a threat and it's a life or death decision that you have to make right then and there, he says, you kill that threat and then you make your gun safe, make sure everybody around you is safe, and then you wait for the police because things will be properly sorted out. But first and foremost, you kill the threat, you preserve your own life.
Absolutely, yeah, and that same training for us is eliminate the threat and then, again, make sure that your gun is secured and away, you know, down, put away, make your identification known, and, wait for the authorities to arrive. It'll all unfold from there, and, you know, again, that threat better be good, better be qualified. And that's something that you have to think about every time you put that firearm on your side, under your arm, or wherever it is on your person.
Hey, and the ladies, I'm talking directly to you now. Your pepper spray and your baseball bat is not adequate of protection in this world of insanity that we live in and against a predator with bad intentions. So your menfolk love you dearly, but we're not always around to protect you. So my special message to the beloved women of our society is arm up, train up, prepare up, and, you know, get ready to defend your lives if necessary, your family's lives, because we live in a predatory world and it's getting worse.
Absolutely. Buck McNeely joins us here on Wild Michigan. You can catch him on your local affiliates. He's, believe me, he's around everywhere. What else you got coming up? What are you hunting right now yourself? Let's talk after the election. Hopefully everything goes well, you know, in that respect. But what are you going to be chasing this fall?
Well, of course, our deer season and waterfowl season is always a favorite. We're popping down to Mexico in December. Frank Stallone, Sylvester Stallone's brother, is a good friend of mine. He's going to join us for 4 days of popping ducks and geese and quail and dove and do a little bass fishing. And then next year, we're going into South Africa. We're going to go on safari. We're going to fish for a great white shark off the Cape. And we're going to go into Scotland for red stag, Australia for Asiatic water buffalo, and some other stuff.
Now, tell me about Mexico. You seem to do a lot of like dove hunting in Argentina, duck hunting in Mexico. Is it, let's say, just affordable for the every guy and gal?
You know, you can go to Argentina on a 4-day hunt for, $3,000-$4,000. Mexico, you can go down for a nice 4-day wing shoot, $2,000. It is affordable. And when you consider how much effort you put into trying to get out and shoot a bag limit of doves here in the United States versus sheer numbers of volume shooting that you get into down south, it's a pretty fair equation and a good bargain to boot.
Seems the amenities are really good in those places as well. They really want to take care of you.
Well, you know, they want to continue to book clients and have people talk good about them and be repeat customers. So in my experience, most of these better operations feed you well, accommodate you well, and then show you a good time out in the field.
Absolutely. Buck McNeely is our guest here. Doing real well. Now, you said 31 years you've been doing this?
Yeah, who'd have thunk it, huh? 31 years on the air, and the show started as a mass comm college project at Southeast Missouri State University.
Yeah, it can't be bad. We're celebrating our 10th year here on the Michigan Talk Network, and you've been part of this show for probably seven or eight years of that. And we've had a blast talking to you, man. And every now and then we get those emails from Buck say, hey, let's do this again. Absolutely. Love having you on here.
Oh, well, I thank you very much. I always enjoy coming to visit with you. And how many stations are you on now? You're getting up there, too.
I think we're on 12 throughout the state right now, still trying to add a few more. And, it's getting to be busy. It's been a great year. We've been to Alaska this year. Last year, we fished Ireland, which if you ever get the opportunity, Buck, I got some people for some great trout fishing and great pike as well.
Sounds fun.
It's an absolute blast, but yeah, it's been a lot of fun. My new wife loves the outdoors, hunts and fishes with me, and it's a good time, man. Absolutely.
Well, you know what? I think America needs to understand that our liberties and our Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms and protect ourselves are under attack. We need to understand that these liberties are not free. You know, they're only worth as much as you're willing to fight and protect them. And, you know, we've got some troubling times ahead. We've got a political system that's been stacked up against us. And I think Donald Trump, even though he is not my idea of a ideal conservative candidate, whereas Hillary Clinton is the ideal Dem-com candidate, I think we got to look at our choices here. You know, what's going to be best for America in the long run? Do we do more big government corruption where nobody at the elite level is held accountable? Or do we give somebody like Donald Trump the opportunity to step in and try and stop the corruption and return law and order to this country? And between the two, I'll take Trump's big mouth over Hillary's proven years of corruption all day long.
Buck McNeely with Wild Michigan.